Hey, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dad's Unplugged Radio. I'm Todd Mansfield.
I'm Kent Lewis.
Glad you're joining us. And, you know, every week we seem to find something different to talk about. I love going out and researching for this show because there's going to be something that catches my eye, and there's no doubt that it happened again. I was actually on Babbel.com, and I saw something that really impressed me, and it was titled Spanking. I didn't believe in it, but I did it anyway. I love the title. It caught my eye. I went and tracked down the author of the post, and it's Cole Gamble, who fortunately for me happened to be right here in Portland, and we've got him in the studio today. Hey, Cole, how are you?
I'm great.
I'm so glad you're joining us, man. Now, did you think of that title, or did somebody else do that?
They always alter my titles. No, actually, you know what? Wrong. I did think of that one. Okay. I'm just going to take credit for it. You can't really prove it otherwise.
Right.
I think that was the one time that I came up with a title that they didn't change. Mine were always more clever anyways, but that one actually passed muster. So.
It did. It's eye-catching. And now, you wrote that about 3 years ago. And yeah. Kent, you and I have had conversations on the show at the Dad's Man Cave editions when everybody comes down here, has beer, and we hang out and chat at the studio. Spanking has been an interesting topic for us, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
I when you read this, and before I get to Cole, what was your initial reaction on it?
Well, I can totally relate. Was my reaction. I think the challenge for those of you that are listening that don't know Todd and I and how we work together is Todd is the yoga doing Prius driving better dad, and I'm the color commentary. And so, you know, I have never spanked a kid, never even occurred to me.
Right.
I mean, I want to strangle him, but I just don't want to spank him. That would be inappropriate. But I still am not sure that I've gotten a good answer from you on addressing Cole's question about what do you do when you're like at that moment, like you're like two kids beating the crap out of each other. You know, it's like it's one thing to separate like, okay, what's the story? Let's all calm down. Let's not, you know, play favorites here. But, you know, you literally see somebody, boom, and then you're like, what do you do? Because I agree. I mean, spanking isn't really – I could argue that there might be some – you know, it worked for me. I mean, I think I got spanked twice, and I actually changed my behavior, not just to not get spanked, but actually because I did know it was wrong.
Right.
Maybe I didn't have to be spanked to know that. But I do know that timeouts don't work. I mean, there's nothing, our kids laugh devilishly when we try just about anything. So I think part of this will be to get Cole's story and an update, because that was a couple of years ago. And also like, what have we tried that actually works in terms of discipline and changing behavior?
That's a good point.
Okay.
I thought you were the comedic side of the show. What was that all about?
Well, I mean, and I was going to say
that was hilarious.
We're dealing with spanking at home right now, but that's just our wife and I trying to work it out.
I understand.
So we can talk about that later.
So, Cole, give us the update. What I mean, this was 3 years ago you wrote this.
Yeah. So the update is that I have healthy, happy kids who don't knock over liquor stores, and I don't spank them. And it's funny when you contacted me on this, because I haven't thought about it, you know, literally, I'm not literally, but almost since I wrote it, because, and what I realized that that's how much of a non-issue it is for me. It just never occurred to me again to spank. And it's not even something that I had to think about or debate. It was like anti-instinct for me, you know, to want to spank. It just, you know, it's just not, I don't know, maybe it takes training for some people, but it's not an instinct that I have anymore, you know. And I will admit, and I say it in the article, that you do kind of have that instinct going into parenting, just because, as I say in the article, kids can hurt you physically.
Yes, they can.
And there's especially the one that the real breaking point I found is like getting hit in the nose. I don't know what it is about getting hit in the nose, but it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Your first reaction is like to start throwing fists at walls or at anything. It's like, oh, my nose! You know, and I've been hit in the nose by my kids, you know, and, you know, maybe I'll have to punch a tree or something. But other than that, you know, I just don't have that reaction, that quicksilver reaction. It's like, you hit me, I'll hit you back. Or, you know, just like you're being bad, I'm going to hit you.
Yeah.
It's
interesting. The odd thing for me is actually the place that bothers me the most is when I get hit on the butt.
Really?
Which is interesting
that
for
happens
me.
Way too much in my house.
You know what? And I just sit, if they come up open-handed and start hitting me on the butt, it's like, guys, don't do that. I don't like that. And then boom, it might be playful at the start, but if I sit there and go, guys, look, okay, I know this has been fun, but really that really bothers me. Mm-hmm. That's when I get really upset. It's like, do not hit me there. I know where it comes from, man. Yeah. It was the spaghetti spoon from my childhood. I do not like getting hit on the butt.
Wow.
We've had this conversation on different shows here on the network, but that spaghetti spoon was nasty. And for some reason, the forks that came out of that spaghetti spoon never fell out on my butt, but they did after they hit my brother and my sister when they'd get spanked. And, you know, it was always this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I just wanted to say, well, then let's trade places. Okay? That was my whole take
on
it.
You know, they make those things out of silicone now. So, yeah. When you say that, it's like, oh, yeah, but I guess, you know, they might have made it, you know, out of wood back then.
It was back in the 70s.
I had an aunt who, I was probably like six, and she lived on a mountain, like the only people that live on this mountain.
Right.
And she was deeply, devoutly religious and kind of, you know, just a lot nuts. And I remember one time she was babysitting me, and this is something like, even as a six-year-old, sometimes something has happened in your life when you're really young that you can already fast forward to the future and see how bizarre the situation is. I did something to piss her off. I can't even remember. But, you know, we're up on this mountain, so there's no one else around, just forest. And she says, go out and pick your switch. I didn't know what a switch was. And, you know, and so she, like, led me out into the woods and said, yeah, you're going to pick the rod with which I will beat you with. I just remember thinking that I'm going to probably recall this 30 years from now and how absurdly bizarre this is. Yeah. And how, like, draconian. I didn't know the word draconian then, but I think I thought it anyways. Like, this is so draconian. And I don't remember the spank at all. I don't think it was that traumatizing. Obviously, I think it's supposed to be the whole, like, going and selecting your weapon.
Yeah, it's like digging your own grave.
Is the worst part of it. Sweat on that one.
Well,
it's really bizarre
that people feel the need to go ahead and say, don't hit, by the way, now I'm going to spank you. Mm-hmm. That's the one that always mm-hmm. gets me. It's like, you may not hit other people. Now come over here, I'm going to hit you. The whole spanking thing I've really had issues with. But what I loved about your story, and we'll make sure again that we have links up on the webpage, so if you're listening to this on demand, you can go ahead and click right to it and read it. But just I thought the reactions and the replies that you got to it were rather, they made me laugh out loud. Some of the people that responded to it.
Oh, yeah.
They were out having their children pick their own switch. But, just in regards to that time, because I've done the same thing where early with my first child, I did, and I thought I just kind of slapped him on the leg, like on the thigh, like, you know, don't do that. And there was a horrible reaction to it. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. wow. And that was kind of my wake up call to, I just can't do it the way my parents did. I want to do it different. How has your non-spanking been received by your parents, by your wife's parents?
You know, my mom is a total coddler, so there's no trouble on that front. And my wife's parents aren't that way either. You know, when I was growing up, the spanker was my dad. And he wasn't a serial spanker. I don't feel especially traumatized by it, but there was a belt, you know. No hand or, you know, like paddling thing. There was a belt. And it was serious business when it did come down. And he's just, you know, he's just in the mellow grandpa role now. So, you know, and his whole motto is like, you know, I'm just going to spoil them and make them awful, and then you can take them home and deal with it. So, you know, I mean, he doesn't have too much criticism about the spanking thing either. But it was definitely something that he used on me when I was a kid. And I think the day that he stopped was like the day that I stopped. This makes the relationship sound really it's going to make some relationships sound really warped, but like it was like the day I stopped reacting to it.
Yeah.
It's like the day I stopped giving him any kind of reaction to the spanking was like, it's just not fun anymore. I don't know.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's so true, I think, with parents. They want that fear. But I think, and Kent, you can comment on this too. I think it stems from the fact that you know, it's a childhood thing. When they're spanking you, it's the hazing issue that I always bring up in parenting and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, look, it was done to them, so I need to do it to somebody else. And somebody's got to stop the hazing.
Hmm.
And, you know, when somebody sits there and they're being hazed and they're like, seriously, you're just, this is stupid. This is really, then it's not, there's no, it doesn't charge the one who's dishing out the punishment.
See, to me, you know, my wife and I really try to not do any of the things that we think our parents screwed up on, mainly because we've got so many things that we can already be screwing up. There's no reason to, like, add another generation to it. It's
understood.
Like, let us make our own fresh messes. We don't need to pile on the past. And it's interesting that there is some kind of, like, retroactive vindictiveness to it. You know, it's like, you're gonna get it because I got it.
Right.
And, like, the kid's like, I'm four. I don't understand your like, you know, decades old bloodlust. Please.
Right.
But I don't have that reaction where, like, you know, if it was good enough for me, it's good enough for you.
Right. I just have always heard that too. You know, that when I was, oh well, this happened to me and blah blah blah, uphill both ways and all that crap. I kind of get tired of that in general.
Well, there is the argument, I guess, that, like, I turned out okay. I mean, that's the ultimate argument.
Yeah.
It's like, I turned out okay, which also, you know, which the thing is, I'd like to ask, it's like, did you? Now, I'm not saying that all people who spank are screwed up. They're not at all. But it's like, when do you ever say that I didn't turn out okay? Most people think they turned out okay, or at least that's what they say to themselves and to, you know, people who are within their within the sound of their voice.
I think Charles Manson thinks he's okay.
Sure.
True, but
you know what? Not spanked enough, though, that guy.
That
is one case where,
or
I'm totally pro-spanking.
Maybe spanked too much.
I don't know.
Here's the other, you know, you made the comment that
I'll look him up on Wikipedia real quick.
Would you see what his spanking record habits, is?
Spanking frequency and...
We're speaking, by the way, with Cole Gamble, and Cole has been writing and a columnist on Babbel.com. Where else can people read more of your stuff?
You know, another place that's great that I'm working for now is called the main thing is called the Good Men Project, part of it is called Dad's Good. It's a dad blogging site, which is part of the Good Men Project. And the Good Men Project is pretty much what the title, you know, implies. It's you know, articles about what it means to be a man, especially in the modern age, and what makes a good man. And so the Dad's Good is kind of like taking that, you know, and applying it to fatherhood.
Right.
And the thing is that, you know, as much as there's many dad blogs out there, you know, when, you know, compared to the ratio with, like, mommy blogs, it's just, it's completely dwarfed. It's you know, it's, there's just no comparison.
Right.
So... It's good to have that stuff out there. It's good that there are sites like Good Men Project, you know, that allow it. I think that it gets shortchanged a lot. I've written for sites that were mainly populated by women. And, you know, it's funny because I had nothing but, like, you know, generally good responses from comments. And, I got read by a lot of people, even though I was a dad and, you know, I had that going against me, I guess. But there are still things that you can't say as a dad blogger. You can't say as a mom blogger because you're just considered unqualified.
Okay.
You know, and so it's interesting where you can have a forum where you can kind of approach it from, you know, a generalized point of view and not a gender specific point of view.
Right. No, I'm with you. I mean, it's a great site, goodmenproject.com. It's wow.
Yeah, sex slavery.
That is good.
Is that my article up?
That's the main one.
That's Tom Matlick, his weekly
and
column.
He's the founder or one of the founders.
Okay.
And do gay men fear intimacy?
I don't know.
I hate to say it, but there's another one over here. Why I Hate My Giant Dong.
Whoa. This is a great site. I should read this. I should probably read the website that I work
just so
for
you know,
sometimes.
I ghostwrote that one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you? Great.
You're not going to see my name on it.
What's the – now, the latest one that you wrote, do you know which one that is?
Man. Let's see. I can tell you –
because they don't have your name
bylines. I know I'm putting you on the
– You know, no, no. The latest one that I wrote, I actually wrote one not too long ago about my issue with sports, but that wasn't really a daddy one. The most recent and probably the most notable on that site that I wrote about a daddy issue is that it's just the story of how and why my son got circumcised, which was something I wasn't on board with and something that my wife and I debated. And now we both wish that we could take it back. But I've published that article a couple of times, and each time I get about 200 comments that say one of two things. I am a horrible monster. And my wife is just a terrible bitch. And also, this is my other – like that's 90% of them. 10% is like, you're not circumcised? That's gross. Because I'm not, and I have to say that, you know, in the context of the story. Right. I'm not, and that was like, you know, a main reason why I don't know why somebody needs to get circumcised. So it's either like you're a brutalizing monster and you've got gross foreskin. So I'm getting a mixed message. It's not
cool. We just had on Parenting Unplugged a woman who is leading one of the largest anti-circumcision groups in the country, and they're just trying to get information out, and it's not you're bad if you are, but it's just trying to talk about what it means. And we had a very similar experience. We have a child. My first son is. My second son isn't. And ultimately, the reason we did the first one was because I was like, well, I am, and kind of wrong the other way. And then we went through the process, and it was brutal. And I've learned
the complications.
Well,
or something?
No, just like, I mean, I'm pinning my son down.
Oh, see, they didn't make me do that. I got to cower in the corner at least.
Laura couldn't handle it, left the room bawling. Jeez. I'm pinning him down while they're doing it. He is screaming bloody murder the whole time. I don't have any memory of it happening to me. And I don't know why. Maybe I mentally blocked it out. But my point was, the more I learned about it, all the stuff that I had heard about it is not true. It's not based in fact. So all of my infections and this and that, all based in just a not real knowledge. And so if I could go back and do it again, nope, I'd leave them intact.
The whole thing is just, the whole thing is an education piece because, like I mentioned, I wasn't for it. And it wasn't just because, make them look like daddy. I just saw it as unnecessary. And I was doing some daddy blogging at the time. So like I kind of had to keep up on these things anyway. So basically, I was right the whole time, and my wife couldn't be convinced otherwise. And the strangest thing about it wasn't – it had nothing. It wasn't even the health issue thing. But it was – she said, well, girls don't like that, and they're going to make fun of them. It's like, what about me? She said, well, yours is fine. But, you don't want to handicap the rest of his life with this terrible foreskin he's going to drag around everywhere he goes, And it's so ludicrous, and she's completely – reversed her position.
Has she?
Yeah. At the same time, the people who comment on that story, they speak in terms of like lifetime scarring mentally. There's even like, someone will say like, the kids will never forgive you when they're an adult. And then there'll be like one guy every now and then. It's like, my parents but they circumcised me and I'll never forgive them. And I'm working now on a program to grow my foreskin back. It's like, okay, now I don't go on that side either. Right. I just don't see like the lifetime trouble that this brings. I think it's more of just like a principle issue.
Well, and one of the things that she brought up in the discussion, she said, why should you have the choice to do that to him? Let them make the choice. If they want to do it later, fine.
It hurts like hell later.
You know what? What?
Yeah.
It hurts a lot more and they'll actually remember it.
Well, I'm sure, but my point being is that, if you want to do it later, great. If you don't, fine. No big deal.
Yeah, that's the conclusion I came to at the end of the article. And at the same time, I had to realize that, here's this choice that I'm not allowing him to make. How many other – this is like the most prime example, but how many of the choices do we have to make for our kids? Well, we don't really have a choice but to actually decide for them, where it doesn't seem right. Now, the one that pops into my mind is that there's a lot of people who believe that chickenpox vaccines could possibly lead to autism in children. Now, all the science that I see says absolutely not. But then again, if you've got someone who – truly believes that, then if they see me take my kid to give them a chickenpox vaccine, they think that I'm, condemning them to possibly develop autism. But at the same time, if I don't, then, they may start a new strain of chickenpox, and make them quite ill. So it's like I have to make that choice for them. My kids may grow up and decide that is true, that chickenpox vaccines are no good and they don't want them for their kids, but they don't get to make that choice for themselves.
Yeah.
And they're tons, dozens, if not hundreds of little choices like that you have to make for your kids.
Yeah, and right, you're going to hit some, and I think actually MMR was the big one because that often had...
That was the one, okay,
MMR, not chicken pox, but because that was three shots and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we've had numerous discussions, and boy, talk about a button for a lot of people.
That one, that's the big one.
Oh, that's a huge one, autism.
That and circumcision.
Yeah, right, I know. But there is one other thing that I did want to get to because, again, another post that you wrote, and Cole Gamble is joining us here on Dad's Unplugged, and he writes for Babbel.com. And this one I just found – it brought up a flood of memories for me is drinking around your kids, good parenting. Mm-hmm. And I – now, correct me if I'm wrong. In reading it, I got your impression that it's not. That's not the good thing to do.
I'm not for it. No.
Okay, you're not for it. And I'm not for it because in your story you talked about the guy, your friend, that not only drank but basically got inebriated, you know, in front of the kids, which is just – that to me is so far over to the right. For me, I'm more about, okay, having an occasional drink, as you mentioned in your post, showing kids that it's okay to have a drink and yet you can be in control. It's not like, ooh, I've got to do 50 different beers. Mm-hmm. I remember having my first taste of beer – before 10, I was probably 8, and it was an Olympia beer. It was, you know.
I think mine was like that's Hams or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's the see, I think you should give your kids taste of that because that stuff's all so bad, they won't want to drink for the next 10 to 20 years.
That or they'll become a bike messenger.
Well, that's true.
I think that's mostly true, although it's a little dangerous with my son. My son, it's an oddball. You know, he like grabbed one of my coffees once and decided he liked coffee. And it wasn't like a mocha or anything. It was like coffee with just some cream in it. It's like, okay, well, if you like coffee, I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's not about like them, like for me, it's not about them like getting their hands on alcohol or anything like that. And I'm not, it's not a verboten thing to me either. Like you can never drink when your kids are around. It's just that, well, first of all, there's that story, which like in a brief recap, like my son had a second birthday party. My friend, he'll drink during the day. See, I'm also, maybe I'm a prude. I'm like one of those like, you know, for 5 or 6. Yeah. Anyways, he started drinking and then we had an Elmo-shaped pinata where all the kids, you know, got to take a plastic baseball bat and swing at it. And the kids weren't really making a whole lot of progress on the thing. And so my friend, you know, who's a parent himself, has a kid about the age of my daughter, he gets up there and he's drunk. And it's now really obvious he's drunk. And he's swinging hard and he's not paying attention to anything. So like he gets one of Elmo's legs off. Candy starts pouring out, but the thing is not totally busted. Kids come running into the candy and he's going into his backswing again to like smack this thing again. Everyone's like, no. And it's funny because my father-in-law had a video camera at that point. I would have loved to have had that on tape just to relive that with him. But my father-in-law, you know, he turned it off at that point. Like, we're not going to film this.
Yeah.
So there's that, you know, and I just, I don't know. It's, to me, it's just, it's about that sense of safety, you know. Mm-hmm. My parents, it's weird. My parents love drink now. It's not something that they did much when I was a kid, though. And I'm not saying as a kid I didn't like to see them drink. You know, a couple times a year they came home and they were fun. I mean, they come home and it's like, I don't know why daddy's up on the kitchen table. I don't know why everything's funny, but this is great.
Yes.
Every day should be like daddy drinking day. But, you know, I didn't, you know. And I had an idea of what drinking was like. I had seen the movie Arthur when I was a kid.
Yes, we all did.
But yeah, I mean, that's me. And there's so many gradients there. I mean, like, how much do you drink? My friend, in this case, obviously drinks way too much, you know, when there's a kid's party going on.
Right, yeah.
But he wasn't the only person drinking. You know, a lot of the people were drinking, too.
Wow. I guess in some ways, I mean, I think of, I'll immediately go, and I'm sure a lot of people go to this in their discussions, is, well, what about Europeans? You know, they can drink. And when you're sitting there saying, well, you can't drink, how many kids sit there and do 21 shots on their 21st birthday? I mean, that's they try for it at least. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I've hit that milestone. I can go get completely hammered. And my whole thing is if it's just kind of it's part of life and it's not a big deal, then my take on it is, you know, that might work better because the fact that they're not thinking it's such a huge deal. But if it's always, no, you can't drink or no, you can't have this or no, you can't have a sip of that, then when that day comes, oh, yes, I can do it. That's my concern, which is, again, a safety concern in some ways.
You're totally right, and I'm very much a proponent of the whole don't make things taboo,
right.
You know, theory to parenting. Mm-hmm. I don't want to scare them from alcohol or anything like that. The larger rule for me is, like, don't be an asshole. around your kids. That's a big one. It's like if you're going to get blotto, you know, and they're still awake, it's like, well, you just don't need to be around your kids ever.
Right.
You know, and then there's the whole is anyone else drinking? Like if your wife, you know, is not drinking, well, then that's kind of different.
Sure.
You know, and as long as everyone's safe.
So my experience was my my dad growing up, I don't think he would drink as often as he would go. Like when he drank, but he was never like a belligerent drunk or anything. He was just more like the silly, like we'd go over to our friend's house and, you know, I'm an only child. So he and I were roughly the same age and we knew that we would play upstairs for a while. Then as they got louder downstairs, the two couples and maybe some other friends, we would just try to sneak down. We'd watch them. It was just a fascinating, like being at a zoo. Like look at the old funny people. Mm-hmm. They get louder and louder, you know, and it would just – that part was just only entertaining to me, but I remember my dad was driving my mom and I home from a particularly hard-partying friend of theirs, an architect, and you know, he had some friends that were like just like over the top, and it actually has totally affected how I view not alcohol but drugs, like heavier stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember I was a friend of theirs had a indoor pool, like a total pimp bachelor pad. And we were over there and I was going down for a nap. Like, so this was like, I was like 7 or 8. Oh, it's like kind of getting late. Yeah. And these two guys walk into this massive bedroom. They go grab a mirror out of the closet, throw down some Coke, and they're chopping it up and snorting in front of me. I'm like 8 years old. And I told my parents, I was like, I don't know what they were doing. I'm pretty sure it was like some bad drug thing, but it freaked me out. And I'm not sure they were totally not, they're like, hey, how's it going? You know, just totally freaking bizarre.
Yeah.
And so, like, I've had this pretty big aversion to anything pretty much beyond alcohol, just partially because of that. But my dad was driving home once, and he had been drinking a bit, and he was, like, zipping around. He had a Porsche when we were younger. So when I was younger, we and I guess we
he
all
was
were.
Younger. Yeah, he was younger.
And, you know, he came zipping off the off-ramp. I think he was kind of messing around, joking around, and – you know, that last minute braking for the stop sign, and my mom was screaming at him to stop, you know, screwing around. And then, and I had been quiet, and I was, you know, I knew he was a safe driver. I knew he was a good driver, and I knew the car was high performance, but I was like, Dad, you know, you need to stop. I don't like when you drink like this and get crazy. And I don't think I saw him drink, you know, meaningfully after that I don't remember the a time he was drunk pretty much since. Like, it really affected him. Just not wanting to let me down.
Yeah.
And I remember he smoked when I grew up, and I to this day, I can't stand smoke and blotting out, barring any HR violations. Like, I don't even want smokers around me, like at a work environment or anything.
Yeah.
And so, but I remember I wrote him a note when I was like 9 or something. I was like, you know, I really would love it if you'd live longer and stop smoking, and you know, because you smell bad and your breath is bad, and I know that, and you hack all morning, and it took him like 4 years to finally go through a smoking program at his office, and he kicked it cold turkey. Like, he's kind of repulsed by smoke or smokers as much as me.
That's
now
great.
But he told me he kept all that letter, and every day he was like, I wish I had the strength. So, and he never told me about it for years, that letter, because I felt like he let me down. I gave him this letter, I spent a lot of time on it, and then it felt like he ignored it, but it was the opposite. It just took him a long time.
Our kids can have a lot of power in their words, and just, you know, I mean, when they do things like that at any age. And that's a really, really cool story, and thanks for sharing that. I hate to say it, but it is the end of the show. It's the time is up. But Cole, keep writing, man, because your stuff's great. I love your stories. And we said Babbel.com. The other site was?
It's I don't write for Babbel.com as much anymore. Yeah, it's more of the Good Men Project.
Good Men
Project. Dad's Good. Dad's Good's the actual. The blog, the daddy blog, but Goodman Project's the main site.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, good. That's where you can check them out and find some of the stuff and leave some nice comments instead of these other crazies that are out there, right?
You know what? I'm to the point where I kind of enjoy it just because it's like, if you can handle that, you can pretty much handle anything. You know, once they start, they get pretty personal, and they don't know me.
No.
They're just like making up the facts. But yeah, no, right. I mean, leave nice ones, sure.
Whatever.
Leave a comment.
Exactly. That's what we do, and keep reading it because it's really good stuff, and we'll get some conversations going. Time for us to go ahead and get on out of here. I'm Todd Mansfield.
And I'm Kent Lewis.
We'll catch you next time with another edition of Dad's Unplugged Radio.